Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday.
Hey, guys. So glad you're here joining us today. We love our Mailbag Mondays.
Yes, we do.
And before we get started, if you ever come up with a question or you have a comment that you would like to make, please send it to mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
Yes.
So let's jump right in. I've been married for a few years now. How much of my past is good to go over with my spouse? I'm talking about before we got married. And what good is it dragging it up now?
Well, if you came to us for pre-marriage counseling, we got a little test that we give you. It's like a 39-page questionnaire. And we ask you questions, you know, what's your real name? What is your real hair color? What's your real eye color? What's
my hair color? I don't know. I haven't seen it since I was about 10.
Have you ever been arrested? Have you ever been in prison? You know, have you ever had a warrant for your arrest? We ask very carnal questions. Now, before we hand these questionnaires out, I said, listen, guys, I'm not going to look at your answers. I'm not marrying you. You're marrying each other. And said, you answer these to the best of your ability. But I will tell you now, you do not have to answer a thing. You're here today as a born-again Christian. When you got born again, your past disappeared. There is no record of your past in heaven. Mm-hmm. It's under the blood of Jesus. And so legally, you don't have to share a thing about your past. You don't. But I tell them straight up with one another. And so I give them the questionnaire. I give them time alone. I come back and I have them swap with one another. And I said, listen, I don't want you. I'm not reading what you wrote. This is for you. And so many times it'll be the lady says, well, he didn't answer this question. I said, well, he didn't have to. I told you he doesn't have to answer any question. Mm. Well, I'd like to know. I said, well, why? Because you're trying to find somebody you're going to build a future with. Now, when you start the dating process, I do believe in doing some questions. Who are you? Where'd you come from? Do you go to church? You born again? Do you have a job? Do you make any money? Is there a warrant for your arrest? Yes, there's questions. You're going to have to ask those. But once you get down to that last point where, okay, we're about to get married, and usually we're about a week, 2 weeks out from getting married, I said, once you get married, you stay out of each other's past. You're trying to build a life, not dig up dead stuff. And you keep trying to go into the past, it's wrong. There's nothing. I don't have a time machine. I cannot change my past. Mm. All you can do is make me feel guilty about it, make me feel bad about it. So that's not a solution. We're not trying to solve a problem. We're trying to find something you can accuse me of. And so you had an opportunity before you got married to get that settled. But once you're married, no, this is about going forward. God's mercy is brand new in the morning, not yesterday. So only the devil's in my past. He wants to make me feel guilty or bad about something. So I just have a straight thing. Please stay out of each other's past.
Well, and I think the reality of women doing that is not very high.
Bingo.
But I would like to say, one time when I had just gotten divorced, my son, who was 13 at the time, came and asked me some very specific questions about the reasons and wanted to know. And I remember saying to him, you know what? I'll tell you and answer whatever questions you want, but just understand this before. I want you to think about this. If I tell you, then I kind of throw up on you, kind of, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
And then you have to deal with it.
Yes.
So do you really want to know? Because some things are just better left unknown.
Yes.
And so he came to me the next day and he said, I don't want to know. And I said, that's wisdom because, you know, it details are just stuff that you'd have to work through. It doesn't matter.
It's a bottomless hole.
It is.
Once you get one question answered, there'll be another one. Think of that. And you're digging for something that's in your past or their past.
Yeah.
There's no limit. It's a bottomless hole. You're looking for something. Even if you find it, it's not going to make you happy.
Right.
We're trying to find somebody we want to build a life with.
Right.
I don't care what you did, where you came from, who your mom is, who your dad is, or what you did in school. I think God's brought us together. I want to build a future with you.
Yeah, and the thing is it's unfair to say, hey, did you you know, sleep with so-and-so before you got married. It's yep. Because then you start comparing yourself, and, yes. and the devil just comes in like a flood. So I agree with you completely that it's just leave the past in the past. And if, I mean, because, listen, I'm as curious as can be. So, you know, I mean, I'm preaching to myself, basically.
Yeah, that's most ladies are, yeah. I understand. And so, men are, too. We're just as bad both sides.
Yeah. So, I mean, but we all have a past. We yes. all have a history. And so it's better to just look forward.
Yes.
Okay. So, and the next question is, I grew up with low self-esteem and had to really work out of it. Now I'm seeing those signs in my 11-year-old. Any thoughts on how to deal with this? That's hard. Mm. That is really hard.
Yes. Self-worth is a huge, huge deal. I remember we were asked to teach at a university one time. They were having a national conference, and I just finished my oldest daughter just got married, and so I did 6 months of pre-marriage counseling. I saw them 4 hours a night for once a month. And so we got down to the last thing. I realized I've told them too much. I don't remember what I've told them. So I took a 3x5 card, and the last night of the pre-marriage counseling for my daughter and her future husband, I said, listen, there's just about 4 things you really need to know. And I wrote them down. I said, well, actually, there's 5. Well, before the night was over, I had 8 things. And we put it into a seminar. We actually have it in a book called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without. You know, and the number one thing is self-worth. Do you know who you are in Christ? In him, in whom? There's over 130 scriptures in the Bible, in him, in whom, in Christ, just in the New Testament. Do you know any 2 of them? Can you rub 2 of them together? Yeah. Do you know who you are in Christ? Because you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Because what the devil does, he shows up from day one. As soon as you leave your mother's womb, you're dumb, you're stupid, you want them out the hill of beans, you're not going to be anybody, you're like your brother, you're like your mother, you're like your father. And the devil tries to compare you with other people.
Yeah.
No, you can't be compared. I'm a unique creature in Christ. Nobody else has my thumbprint. Nobody else has my voice print. I'm a really special creature in God. And so only the Word of God can back that up. So what you've got to do is just start not hammering on them. Just say, hey, the Bible says this is who you are in Christ. Just keep a real short one word. And so we actually have a set of cards we made telling your child the truth. We've got 31 confessions that we'd use for years with our own kids.
Yeah.
And I tell people, just give them 1 card a week and have them think about this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah, and we've had parents send us videos where before they go to school in the morning, they have their kids read it out loud. Because you know, the word changes you when you hear.
Yes.
Hearing and hearing. So just get it down in them, and that will.
Low self-worth comes from somebody either making fun of you, mm-hmm. accuse you, or somebody you thought had authority. You're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must be, because they're smarter than me. And they said, I'm dumb. I must be dumb. No, you're not. You're a child of God. So only the Word of God can negate all the negative things that the devil's trying to throw. And it might be through somebody that loves them, a parent, a dad, or a mom, said, man, you're dumb as dirt. You're knocking them out the hill of beans. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. And you begin to believe all the negative thoughts. So the only thing that can change that is the spoken Word of God.
That's it.
So you got to eventually say, no, this is what God says about you.
Yeah, that is very, very good. Okay, so here's another question. Is my wife has a relationship with a male coworker that I think is too close. How should I handle it?
Truth will set you free. You're not the first. You won't be the last. You just need to get straight. You just need to go have a cup of coffee somewhere in a public place so you can't throw things at each other. Get out in the public somewhere. Hey, can we go for a cup of coffee? Hey, I'm kind of concerned with your relationship with your working buddy. You know, I think it's just too much. And what happens is there are rules for this, and I'll keep this as short as I can. And I used to, when I was administrator of a large school, got a lot of people work for me, and we had some 60-something employees. And I would say, listen, guys. When you go to the water fountain, you go to the coffee machine, keep the conversation short because there's going to be males and females. and you're working with a lot of guys you're not married to, working with a lot of ladies you're not married to. So let your yes be yes, your no be no. Be friendly, smile, talk about work, but don't start talking about personal things. Well, my husband, he doesn't really love me. Well, my wife's not very nice to me. You don't always share that stuff at work. You keep that one-on-one. Matthew 18:19, you keep that one-on-one with your spouse. So you got to have some rules at work, because we're all going to work with somebody of the opposite sex. Right. We're just going to. And so what you need is have internal rules. I can be friendly. I can do things at work and be very successful, but I don't share personal stuff with you. I don't share anything about my personal life, my thought life, my sex life, my money life. That's none of your business. I'll talk about work all day long, but there's got to be internal guards to what you will and will not share.
Yeah, I mean, I think every marriage needs to have boundaries that that you both agree on. I mean, you have to be careful, because some spouses are jealous.
Yes,
and so they could be an you could be hypersensitive to something that's really innocent. But I don't think there's anything wrong with checking up on your spouse as far as just like, hey, are we still okay? Everything all right?
Yeah, just a real simple.
Are you looking for something from that I'm not offering?
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a dipstick. Check how much oil we got in the tank.
Yeah.
Just check every now and then. Hey, we okay? Are we good?
And see, the thing is, just like you've said in previous broadcasts, I mean, the devil, he's sly, and he doesn't come, with a pitchfork. Yeah.
Because usually all things start innocent. I used to say this, and please got to take this with a grain of salt. All affairs start with words.
Mm-hmm.
All divorces start with words.
Yes.
All wars start with words.
Mm-hmm.
Life and death in the power of the tongue. Just put a guard on what you share at work. Talk about work. Man, we're going to do this better. Man, you did a good job of that. Man, that's great. Hey, how are we going to solve this problem? Talk about work all day long, but don't go into your personal life.
And I think a big thing, too, is joking about sexual
things. Oh, not good.
Yeah, and I think
and that's bad in the workplace today.
It is very bad. So I just think guarding your heart and guarding your family. I mean, the devil's out to destroy.
Look, we've told adults before, the Bible says what we taught high school students, go from the presence of a foolish man if you don't perceive him in the lips of knowledge. If they're talking trash around the coffee machine at work or somewhere, just get up and go back to your desk. Go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hang around. Don't judge them. Don't start preaching to them. Just go back to work.
Yeah.
Do your job.
Yeah. So, because, a lot of times you spend way more time with those work buddies than you do with your spouse. You have to be careful that you don't allow someone from the outside to come into an intimate place that belongs just.
By the way, the greatest thing I ever heard years ago is you need to take your spouse on a date once a week. If you just go down to McDonald's and have a Big Mac and a Coke, or if you just go to Starbucks and have a cup, once a week, take your spouse out just to be alone.
When are we going to start that?
We're going to start that, I think tonight. I believe I've got that scheduled tonight. Whoa!
Bada bing.
Boom, 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 boom.
That's funny. Okay, so my daughter has just started middle school, and her entire attitude has changed. She now wears only black, listens to dark music, and her friends are frankly scary. I don't know how to say it, but I'm intimidated, and my husband doesn't seem to think there's a problem. What should I do? That is a great concern, because who you hang around with, you will become. That's what I've always told my kids.
Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you what you're going to become.
Yeah. And the second challenge is that your spouse is not in agreement with you, that there is a challenge that you can. So,
well, the common term you hear all the time, well, it's just a phase and they're going through it. Well, they may not come out of it.
They may not. I mean, my son went through this phase of screamo music, which I really hated, because it just, every time I get in the car, it sounded like someone was just yelling at me. And after a stressful day, you don't need that. And I wish it wasn't music to me at all. But thankfully, it was a phase. And I said to him, son, I can't handle this phase. We got to move on down the line. And thankfully, we went to a jazz phase, which was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, pretty dramatic change. One of the things I think that was great years ago when I was a school administrator, I collected biographies, short ones. I collected some 1,200, I think, 6 biographies over that 10-year period people became very famous who did not have an education. People that never finished elementary school, but, you know, everybody from Thomas Edison to Henry Ford, people that became millionaires and billionaires. And what I would do, you know, because what they're looking for, every kid's looking for the same thing. Every human on this planet's looking for affirmation. Mm. Every human has the same need, affirmation. Am I important? Am I loved? Does somebody know I'm here? So if you can't get it from being who you are, you'll get it from how you dress and what you wear and what you know. I need attention. I need somebody's attention. And I tell the story all the time. We pulled into a gas station years ago close to the office. I got pumping gas and had two of my adult daughters with me. And all of a sudden, I'm pumping gas. And a kid pulls in at another station. You know, it's a big gas station. Pulls over to another pump. And he gets out, and the truck's sitting right down on the ground. He's got neon lights under the bottom. Looks like a flying saucer. And he gets out, and I don't know how many speakers he had in that little pickup truck, but my windows are vibrating where I'm at, you know, boom, boom, droo, boom, boom. Droo. And so I finished pumping gas, and I just leaned up against the vehicle, and I just stared at him. My daughter said, "Dad, what are you doing?" So I'm staring at this kid. "Dad, he's going to see you." "No, he wants me to look, sugar. That's why he has the loud music and the neon lights. He needs somebody to look at him." So he looked over at me, and I just did nodded my head like, "Way to go." He nodded back. I said, "I made his day." He needs affirmation. He's starved for attention. The Bible says, "Mark the perfect man. The end of that man is peace." Somebody who knows who they are, they don't have to prove anything to anybody. They're comfortable with themselves. Mark then of a perfect man in that ministry. What's peace? I don't need to prove anything to you. I don't have to be a straight A student or an all-star ball player. I don't have to be a cheerleader or the prettiest girl or the most handsome guy. I am loved by God Almighty. I'm happy with who I am. You know, warts and all. I like me. And when we talked about that 8 things no kids leave home without book that we wrote, that's one of the first things. You need to like yourself. You got to learn how to like yourself. Greater love is someone that lays down his life for his friend. You got to start loving you before you can love somebody else. You got to love yourself. And so many kids are struggling with that because they grow up not having any affirmation. Nobody bragged on them. Competition started in kindergarten. I didn't make straight A's. They did. I didn't make the honor roll. They did. I didn't make the ball team. They did. I didn't make the band. They did. I must be a nobody. Well, I'll start hanging out with nobodies. I've got to find an identity. Yeah. And so the way you get an identity to kids, you got to speak it over them. "Hey, you know something? You're a gift from God. Did you know that? Well, I didn't make A's. Doesn't matter. You're a gift from God." And I've told so many stories. One of my daughters, the only one of my daughters that did not go to college on a college scholarship, eventually got a scholarship her last years in college, and we started a publishing company together. Mm-hmm. And my other kids were astonished. "Why didn't you ask us?" I said, "She's a journalism major. I didn't hire her because she's my daughter. I hired her what she was good at." Back in high school, when you're getting all the accolades and you're winning all the letters and the letter jackets, and they were just normal, not everybody blossoms at 18. Some don't blossom until they're 50. But everybody blossoms eventually.
Well, and it says here that you were intimidated, and you know most adults are intimidated by that age. I've worked with teenagers my whole life, so I know the best way to handle it is to get in their face, and just approach it. You know, hit it head on. I mean, sometimes we want to be friends with our kids, and they don't need a friend.
Well, they need a parent. They need a friend.
They need you to be a parent, and the parent sets boundaries.
Yes.
And gives guidelines. I mean, one of the things like your cards, your confession cards that we have, I would get up, spend every morning with her, have her go through the confessions every day, and let her see who she is in Christ. And as she does that, she'll grow, and she'll grow away from it.
Yes.
The word will take
God's
precedence.
God's word will take precedence. It will.
But I would overcome my intimidation, face that first and foremost.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, like my kids, I put boundaries on them. Like when I purchased the phones, when they got a phone, I would say, "Okay, this is I have access to this. At any time, I could open this phone and look and see who you're talking to and what you're saying and different things and get a feel." Same with your computer. As long as you're here under my roof,
if I'm writing the checks, I own everything. And as soon as you can write the checks, you're an adult.
That's right. And you can have your phone freedom. I don't even have to know.
Yes, I don't need it.
So, So just, you know, I think I would push through it and see what the.
And try to expose them to so many, just on the music thing. I took our kids to concerts every year. We went to the opera, went to rock concerts, we went to the ballet. We went to country music concerts. I said, "Listen, I love music, all kinds of music. But if it doesn't have a rhythm or harmony or melody, it's confusion. And that's the devil. So we don't listen to anything I can't whistle to.
That so dates you right there. That so
if
dates you.
If I can't whistle
to let me just say, at home, do you know what kind of music Joe listens to? 24/7, year-round Christmas music.
Yeah, I do. God bless America. We three kings of Orinar.
Let me tell you. So take that last bit of advice with a grain of salt. All right. So we thank you so much. We appreciate our time with you on Mondays. And thank you for being a part of this podcast. Tell your friends about it. And also, if you have any questions, please don't forget to write us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com.
We love to hear from you guys. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.